right. Everybody hear me all right back there? Pastor asked me to preach the other day. I just thought, Psalms 1. Who doesn't like Psalms 1? I have a fond memory of Psalms 1 as we started the church in Durango, Frontier Baptist. First thing we did was memorize the entire Psalm. Children all the way to adults. And it's still sticking in my head. Now, I can't say I could tell you every word for word right now, but that was an enjoyable time as we as a church, and of course we were a small body getting started, but as we memorized Psalms 1. I like Psalms 1 because if you mark your Bible and you have a King James Bible, the King James Bible is the only Bible that outlines itself. So if you forgot your outline, praise the Lord I didn't, but if I did forget my outline, it's in there. And I go through and I color code and I write notes, and if I had to preach, I got my Bible, I'm good to go. But I got an outline, so we're going to be here a while. All right, and then, you know, if you're not in my Sunday school class, I'm sorry for you. I wish you were, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about some of that even tonight, because I tell you what, the Word of God has got to be, all this stuff has got to be important. Without it, we have nothing to stand on. The Bible is very specific. You know, people say, well, you know, I don't know. That's how you see it. No, I'm just reading you what the Word of God says. And if you see it differently, you got the wrong Bible. But, you know, the Bible's very specific about what a godly man is and what a godly man is not. God doesn't leave room for cultural norms. I had a preacher one time stand up and say, well, you know, that was the cultural norm of that day. And he needed to hit the road because he didn't believe the Bible. The Bible is the same as Jesus. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Bible doesn't change. Neither does God. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we don't have a revolving door, or a revolving Jesus, or a revolving Bible? And we don't have to worry about what the opinion poll on Fox News said today. We just need to know what God's Word said today. Because that isn't going to change. Tomorrow, I don't have to wait till I turn the TV on to figure out where we're going to be at tomorrow as far as Christians go, because I got a Bible. It's just going to be there. I like being able to trust it, and it is black and white. And I've been condemned for saying, well, that's just not all black and white. Yes, it is. It is black and white. And if you have a gray area in your Bible, you need to get a different Bible. Because it is black and white. I can trust my Bible. I am kind of slow at some things, and I need things spelled out specifically. And that way, you can't argue with it. It's just there in black. Number one, number two, that's why I have an outline. Number three, number four, God spelled it out for me. And God realized that man likes or tends to stray off course. That's our flesh. We have that tendency. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You're still a sinner, saved by grace. Praise the Lord. But our tendency is to wander, the song says. It doesn't mean that we're not saved, but God knew that our tendencies are to wander off. So He inspired word for word, so we don't have to question where we stand at in the King James Bible. Let's read through. Well, I don't know that I can read without stopping, because it's just too much in there. You know, we get to the first word, blessed. That's pretty good stuff right there. That's good preaching, amen? Happy is what that means. So you want to be happy as a Christian? Listen to what it says in verse 1, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now we got to stop right there, because half my outline's right there. You know, God, this, if you're making notes, this is what a godly man will not do. That's what he said. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not, that standeth not, that sitteth not. I mean, he's specifically saying, listen, if you want to be a happy Christian, you want to be a blessed Christian, you want to have a good life in the Lord, then here's some things you will not do, period. That's pretty black and white, isn't it? He says, he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, if I'm walking, I'm just in the proximity of Arlen. I can see him. Or my wife. Well, I was going to use her for the example. I don't want to cozy up to you later. So I'll say, I'm in the proximity of my wife. I walk and I can see what's going on. I have the general idea and the appearance and all those things, but I'm still have my distance. But God's word says that I won't even walk in proximity to the counsel of the ungodly. It says I'm not even going to get right here to the ungodly, and I'm not going to allow myself to be this close even. He says he will not even get close in the proximity of the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Well, we're going to get to that. He says in 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Proverbs, he says in chapter 4, he says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Now listen, he didn't say get in bed with them. He said don't even get in the path with them. Don't even go the same direction they are. Don't even get near them in proximity of them. And he says, go not in the way of evil men. The way, that's a broad way. He says, don't even go in the way. He said, in Proverbs, he says, Solomon says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. That is pretty black and white. Now we can sit there and, well, that's kind of your interpretation. Okay, you interpret, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. You interpret that. You got to come to the same interpretation I do if you speak in English. So listen to what he says. He says, walketh not in the what? Counsel. Now listen, we're hearing counsel every day. Every time you turn on the TV. Every time you go to work. Every time you sit down with your spouse. Every time you talk to your friends. Every channel that comes on. There's counsel there. I'm not saying it's all good counsel, but here he's saying the godly man, the psalmist is a godly man or woman, he's able to take the good, but to recognize and avoid the bad. Now, there's some things on TV that if you can't recognize the bad, you need to throw it out. Because some things today are pretty bad, and they're very obvious. And a Christian who says, I can, you know, that's your interpretation of nudity. Come on. That's kind of pretty. There's a lot of baloney counsel out there, is what the Bible's saying. Whether it be Oprah, Dr. Phil, or whoever your favorite guy is, there's a lot of baloney out there, but we got the truth right here. He said, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not even getting in proximity of him. Now look what it says the next one. It says, standeth, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, before I was just kind of walking by. I was just in proximity by. I could see it, but I'm not digesting it all, but I'm still getting some of it, whether I like it or not. So some of that stuff you're watching or listening to or counsel that you're getting, you may be getting, digesting more of it than you think you are. But now it says, I'm standing. Now that means I'm listening. I'm taking notice even closer. I want more. I want to hear more. Tell me more. I want to. Now wait a minute. We're talking about in the ungodly's presence. But if we are walking by it, sooner or later we'll be standing by it. Now that's not where it ends, though. He said, nor standeth in the way of sinners. There is a way. Listen, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Now, when I'm over here, they may not seem that bad. But if I sit here long enough, I'm going to be standing there. And when I'm standing there, it isn't going to seem that bad then. Why? Because I'm the frog boiling slowly. You know, the old saying that if you put a frog in cold water and turn it on real low, because it's gradually getting warmer, he doesn't notice it. And he'll stay in there until he boils to death. Where if you throw a frog in boiling water, he can jump right out. But if you let him just get in there real slow, gradually, he's going to boil to death. And that's where Christians are in America today, is we're just boiling to death because we're digesting and we're standing a little closer than we ought to. He says we're listening more intently now. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, he says, now we command you, brethren, that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. He told the Ephesians, he said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. How do you misinterpret that? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means, listen, call it sin when it's sin. Don't just kind of warm up to it and stand with it and get in the proximity of it. Call it what it is. Listen, if I can't stand in a pulpit in God's house and say homosexuality is a sin, I'm in the wrong church. If I can't say that we have a Bible we can trust and it's the King James Bible, I'm in the wrong church. Sin is sin. How do you get around it? But Paul told the Ephesians, he says, not only avoid the proximity of it, but reprove it. Call it what it is. He says, for it is a shame to even... Now, this is... Come on, is this where we're at in the 21st century? He said, in the first century, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Does that not sound like the 21st century? Written in the first century, but inspired by God, that Paul said, listen, there's some things that those sinners are doing in secret that I don't even want to say in out loud. I tell you what, there's some things going on in Dumas, Texas tonight that should shame us. In Moses' day would be stoned to death. So that's kind of rough. I'm just saying, there's some things going on in America today that we ought to be ashamed of. And not just it. If you were a lost man, you ought to be ashamed of it. But as Christians, we ought to be ashamed of some things. Now, the first verse that I wrote in 2 Thessalonians, read in 2 Thessalonians, talked about a brother that walketh disorderly. He says, listen, not only to, he said, withdraw yourself from them. 1 Corinthians 5, it tells us to not keep company with a sinful brother. It's not to be mean or think you're better than they are. The purpose of that is for reconciliation. That a Christian, listen, if you are out of fellowship with the brethren, it ought to be uncomfortable to you. It ought to be, there ought to be, if Christians don't even want to be near you, it ought to not make you mad. It ought to make you hit your knees and say, God, what is going on? What is wrong with my heart and my life? I need to get it right. And I need to change. But listen, the brethren go along to sinners, brothers in sin, and living like the devil in the world, and Christians cozy up to them, and they stand by them, and they listen to them, and pretty soon they're going to be in the next step. Well, you know, we got to be in love. Hey, listen, the Bible does say in love, but it also says what? First, the truth in love. You know, this. God's a God of love. He sure is. Man, read 1 John. He's love, love, love. God is a God of love, but God is also a righteous, holy God that will judge this earth someday. And He will judge every Christian one day. My, praise the Lord, my sin is already judged on Calvary, taken care of, but I'm going to still stand before a holy God one day. And my knees are going to bow when they quit knocking. And I'm going to face a holy, righteous, just God. And if you're not saved tonight, you're going to face the same God at a different judgment, but there will be no hope for you if you die without Christ. Listen, that's not being mean, folks. What's being mean is not telling somebody that. Say, well, you preach too hard, or you preach too mean, or you preach too much blood. If it weren't for the blood, you'd die and go to hell. How about that? That's kind of mean, isn't it? The truth is, Jesus loved you so much that He died on a cross. So we have eternity in heaven with Him. Man, I'm on a rabbit. All right. So He says that happy is the man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, that's cozying up a little closer than standing. Now I'm walking. Now I'm standing, but now we are getting real cozy here. I'm glad it's my wife. Now, we're pretty close, aren't we? And there's not much between us. That's what Christians are doing, sin. They're getting the proximity of it, and they stay in the proximity long enough that now they're standing by it and not trying to even get away from it, and the next thing you know, they're laying with it. Wallowing in it. The prodigal son, praise the Lord, was the father's son before he left. I mean, I don't know if you understand what I'm getting at, but he was the son before he left. He never quit being the son, no matter how bad he stunk. God is a God, a loving God, and the prodigal son came home, the father forgave him. Like that. Listen, there's some that need to get out of the pit. They're wallowing around. And then we have Christian brothers that are doing it and sisters that are doing it. And they're so in love and cozied up to the world. Listen to what it says. It says, nor sitteth in the seat. So we have the counsel, the way, and the seat. I mean, we're so close together there. But the Bible says, the Bible. So what's my authority? The Bible. If you don't have a higher authority than I do, because that's it. And Paul said in Corinthians, he said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that is marriage, work. I know we work in a lost world. Yes, I do. But I'd encourage you not to be partners with a lost man. Say, man, that's kind of rough. Listen, when it comes time to make a righteous decision, I know we work with lost people. That's not what I'm talking about, but if you have a conscious decision to make, don't marry a lost person. But, you know, but first, let me back up. You hadn't been sitting there thinking about being unequally yoked together had you not been standing there, had you not been, I mean, you probably didn't even met that person. But we got Christians marrying lost people and then wonder why they argue about who the kids are going to go to church with. Being unequally yoked together, cozied up with them, sitting with them. Let's look at 1 John. We got to look at some of these. Look over in 1 John chapter 2. And we'll look at 2 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, love not the world. That's hard to misinterpret that, isn't it? Love, I didn't take the time to look at all the garbage dumpster diving Bibles to see what they said, but my Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that's rough, isn't it? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It don't get any clearer than that, does it? Look over at 2 John, a couple pages over. See that? When I said, look in 1 John, you'll read a lot about love. Yeah, like love not the world. God is a God of love, but he also says love not the world. Now, listen, you may have these little friendly folks. Usually it's ladies and dress very modestly, and they come in pairs, and they just want to come share the good news with you. Really? Get your King James Bible. Oh, no, I don't have that. Oh, then you ain't got good news for me. Well, we just want to share the love of God with you. Listen, you need to get saved first. You know what? You want to send a JW out of their mind? Tell them you're going to pray for them. Man, I mean, my wife's going to get skinned alive and told this lady, I don't want your material, but I would like to pray with you or pray for you. And man, don't you pray to me. You're not even praying to the right God. Okay. So, well, let's let them come on in the house and let's have a cup of coffee and sit down around the table and we'll visit about it. That's not what my Bible says. In 2 John and verse 10, he says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine that we hold in our hands, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. It says don't even say goodbye. So what do you say? How do you do that without being rude? Say, I will pray for you. Doesn't say we can't say that. And it will, and then do pray for them. If they'll let you pray with them, pray with them. But at least pray for them as they walk away, because they're not going to let you pray with them. He says, don't allow a heretic or a false gospel into your home, men. Men. You're the head of your house, spiritually, physically, the head of your home, and you are responsible for what comes into that home. And if you do not guard that door, we'll guard that door with our Colt 45, but we let all sorts of goofy things come in around our children. Oh, we're not going to have no burglars come in. They know they got us, but the devil's smarter than we are. He can get in. He's got all ways to get into your house. Listen, we need to guard it. But tonight, what I'm talking about is that false gospel. That false gospel, men and ladies, not just the men, but listen, we need to guard our homes from this false gospel of easy believism, of this false gospel of God is a God of love and wouldn't send anybody to a devil's hell. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ought to guard our homes. And look what the result is. Well, I got to get moving. Blessed. You do these things. This is what a godly man will not do. The things that we just spoke about, a godly man will not do that. And the result is, blessed is he. Happy is the man that does not do these things. Say, man, that's a negative message. Well, it gets better. Hang on. Blessed is the man that does not do these things. Happiness is, can you imagine? Happiness for just simply avoiding some things. Well, that's easy. People are seeking happiness everywhere. They're seeking happiness in the world and all sorts of wickedness, and they think that's going to make them happy. And the truth is, just avoiding it, God says, will make you happy. But it does get better. Look at what it says in verse 2. But, now number two is, number one was what a godly man will not do, but number two is what a godly man will do. Here's Sunday school class of Cornerstone. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The godly man will delight. Now, mark this down. It's better than happy. It's almost euphoric. If you're blessed for not doing that, it's going to be even better when you do the right things. He said, delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I mean, he loves the Word of God. He's delighting in the Word of God. And a Christian says, I'm not delighting in God. Where's your Bible at? How dirty is it? How dusty is it? When was the last time you cracked it open and read it when it wasn't church time? How do you have that type of relationship and that type of joy if you do not read your Bible? My Bible says you cannot. He's delighting in what? In the Word of the Lord, as opposed to outside counsel and commentaries, etc., etc. I know there's some good stuff out there. There's a lot of junk too. And if you got a study Bible and mine's not, but the stuff are usually at the bottom. That's not the inspired part, by the way. If that part down there contradicts this part up here, you got a wrong study Bible, or black it out or something. Because there's a lot of junk out there, a lot of study Bibles you ought not have in your home. They are, say, King James Version on them. But it's the junk at the bottom that caused somebody to question the Word of God. Well, and the better manuscripts, I don't want to teach my Sunday school class because we're going to get there one of these days. I mean, listen, he's delighting in the Word of God. He loves it so much. It's better than happy. The Word of God so much that what does he do? What is the result? He meditates on it day and night. Does that mean he walks around with a Bible like this? No. It means that you have read your Bible so much and so often, and you love it so much that the result is as I go through my day, I'm still thinking about what I read this morning or last night, and I can apply it to today. I can apply it to school. I can apply it to my job. I can apply it to my family, and I just love it so much. I just got to dwell on it. And I'm dwelling on the Word of God, and I'm delighting and euphoric about the Word of God so much. Where's the room for the ungodly at? Where are they at? I don't know. I forgot. Where are they? I'm so tied up with the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God so much that I forgot about what I missed on TV last night. I forgot about what that dirty joke they said at the water cooler this morning. Listen, you delight in the Word of God. Now, I know we're only at chapter 2, or verse 2, we got to get going. But I'm going to tell you, if I love my wife in that way, in that word, delight, euphorically, if I'm so in love with my wife, I mean, I just, I think about her day and night. I mean, I can't wait to get back to her and see her and be near her and have a part in her life like I should be in the Word of God. If that's the case, how can I look at anybody else in an ungodly fashion? How can I look on another woman in a sinful way? No, I can't if I'm so tied up in my love for this woman that I cannot look at you in any ungodly manner. Well, if I'm that tied up in the Word of God, I'm not going to be drawn to a man's opinion because I love the Word of God. I'm not going to be straying off over here. You know, just because some ding-a-ling stands up here and says, this is my Bible, does not mean he's got the right Bible, for one thing. And if you're sitting in a basketball stadium and got, you know, about $50 or $60 million in your church, I'm going to start questioning. If it's a good church, praise the Lord, but I haven't seen one. If you're following Joel Osteen, go throw that book in the fireplace. Don't listen to that guy. That guy, he doesn't have his beans straight. He doesn't even know whether Jesus and Satan are related or not. Or heaven and hell is a real place. What does that tell you? He does not delight in the Word of the Lord. He does not love it so much and meditate on day and night. We probably got little kids over here that know more about the Word of God than that man does. I don't mean to pick on that guy, but he is a ding-a-ling. But listen, Acts 17 says that we're to be like the Bereans. It says they were more noble Why? Because they went home and they searched the Scripture daily, not on Sunday. Every day they went home and searched the Scripture to see what? If it was so. They didn't take no man in the pulpit's word for it. They went and got this book that they were delighting in and loving in and so in love with. And I'm going to go see if that preacher, I'm not saying you question the preacher on everything, jot and tittle, but I'm saying go home and search the Scripture. If you love the Scripture and you read the Scripture, you know whether it's right or wrong. You know what you'll notice? You'll start hearing somebody quote some verse or see it written somewhere and you'll go, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong. What is that? It's because you have meditated on it day and night out of the King James Bible. When you see one of those dumpster diving Bibles, you know something's wrong. And it may be a comma. Listen, a comma makes a big difference, amen? All right, let's go. Don't take a man's word for it. Check your Scripture. I love it so much. All right, so a godly man will delight in the word of the Lord. He's going to meditate on it day and night. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That sounds good, doesn't it? He's married to the Word of God, loving the Word of God, euphoric about the Word of God, and it makes him do some things right. One, it puts him in the right place. He's by the rivers of water. Water usually is a picture of the Word of God. And not only is he's planted there. It means he's firmly grounded in it. If we're firmly grounded in the truth, what truth? The one we've been meditating on day and night. The one we've been pouring ourselves over. We'll be planted, firmly grounded in it. In Proverbs, Solomon says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change." If you got to have the Bible of the Month Club, you got a problem. Because my Bible doesn't change. Therefore, why is there a copyright per year or more for a Bible? Because somebody's changing some. My Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Listen, you got somebody that's wanting to move a little to the right, a little to the left from the center of the Word of God, you need to either get away from them or reprove them if you love them. But surely don't follow them. He says, listen, he's planted by the rivers of water. He's firmly grounded. He's not walking. He's not standing. And he's surely not sitting and cozying up to those given to change. Aren't you glad you have a Scripture and a Lord that do not change? Hallelujah for a God that does not change. You know, if I'm firmly planted, my roots are deep. How deep are your roots? I tell you, and this is sad to say, but many Christians, their roots are so shallow and that they couldn't stand up in a wisp of a wind because they got no roots. Some of it's their fault. Some of it's others. Listen, once we get the milk, it's time for some steak, amen? We need to grow. How are we going to grow? How are we going to sink deep roots? We're not going to be carried around by every wind of doctrine, Paul told the Ephesians, because we have deep roots. I don't want to be believing one thing and believing this and then believing that and then believing this. Well, how do I not do that? A godly man's planted. I mean, he is planted. Those roots. I lost a limb last night about that big around. And, you know, in a good storm, that's not too bad considering me and four or five guys can't put our hands around the tree. And as I tried to rototill up some of my dead grass today, guess what I hit? Over and over and over is a root. Now, if that tree is, I don't know, 100 foot tall, it's huge. The little limbs are this big around. You know what makes that thing stand up in a wind in the panhandle of Texas? It's got roots deeper than it is above it. That's got roots 100 foot deep. It's kind of hard to pull that out of the ground. Where he is planted, he's planted where there's plenty of water. He's planted where there's plenty of the Word of God. I mean, if we're not where the Word of God is preached and poured over and poured over, and we're not delighting in it, we're not nourishing ourselves or our families, and we're not going to flourish. But look what else it says about this guy. The fruit and the unwithering leaves. It says his leaves never wither. He has fruit in his season. Says the fruit and unwithering leaves are a product of a happy Christian. That euphoric, delighting, blessed Christian. If not, the individual has a heart issue. If you cannot get excited about the Word of God, it's not the Word of God's fault. It's yours and mine. You ever read, I read my chapters for today. What did you read about? I don't know. I got it done, though. That's not called delighting in the law of the Lord. That's called, I don't know. Listen, we have some heart issues. It's not something missing from the Scripture, and I got to go. So a godly man does not. What a godly man does, verse 4 and 5, let me tell you what an ungodly man does, and then I got to hurry up and get closed. What an ungodly man does. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, you see what it says there? That he is as chaff, which is the wind driveth away. Being driven, man is driven by several things, and we can be driven. Lost men are driven. We ought not be driven by it. But listen, then it's natural for a lost man to be tossed to and fro because he has an Adamic nature, sinful flesh. It's just normal. And you know what, Christian? Say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't have to worry about that. Well, then you're a stronger Christian than Paul was, because Paul said he recognized it. And you know what? You can't avoid it if you don't recognize it. He said, there is no good thing in this flesh. Not a single thing. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ, which dwells within me. But if it's up to my flesh, he'll wander. But for that lost man, easily, it's just natural for him to... You don't have to blame the devil for it. It's his flesh. We give the devil way too much credit, but we can be driven. We're driven by the natural, but we can't be driven by the supernatural. Now, I don't mean to spook anybody, but the devil is a real guy. And his devils have an agenda. And if you have watched any television news for the last couple of years, you see an agenda. You say, man, this, look around. Man isn't this smart, by the way. All this stuff says, man, it looks like it's the pieces are just falling into place. They are. And it isn't because a man's that smart. It's because the devil is real and he has an agenda. You look at history, and you look at where we are today, and you look at everything in between. It almost looks choreographed, doesn't it? Like you wrote the book, except it's more than one generation to get from 1776 to where we are today. How did we get there? The devil is alive and well. But the world doesn't want you to think about that. And some of these preachers sure don't want to tell you that there's a real devil. And the devil doesn't want you to believe in a real devil. He wants you to think he's a little red guy with a pointed tail. Ha! That's so funny. Really? I don't want my kids burning in hell with him. Because the hell was created for him, not for man. But man will go there one day of his own free will. Not because God's a mean God, but because man's foolish and won't accept Christ. And I got to close. Verse 6. We have a righteous, holy judge. What does that mean? Righteous. He's perfect in every way. Holy. I mean holier than holy. He is holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. And He is the judge. And He's a righteous judge, which means He has the right to pronounce judgment on you and me. He has the right. Look what it says. And the Lord, that's Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Man, there's a lot right there, and I don't have time to preach it all. But there is a way of the righteous, by the way. And there is a way of those perishing and going to hell. And broad is that way. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You know, I love those verses. We won't go there for time's sake. Psalms chapter 56, where it says, the Lord has recorded every tear that we shed. Man, that's something, isn't it? Do you mean the Lord pays that much attention to a little nobody like me? Yes, He does. He loves me that much. And He pays attention. And those tears you shed during prayer time, God knows. God's paying attention. Go to prayer. Hit your knees. He's paying attention. He records our works as Christians, and I just don't have time to go to all this. The judgment seat of Christ, if you're a Christian, that's the judgment seat that you will sit at. And praise the Lord, sin's not on the table. Aren't you glad? I know I'm going to be on my knees. And I believe I will be tears at that point, because it says they will be wiped away. And those tears, as I realize what I could have done for Christ, what I did not do for Christ, what I did do to hurt the cause of Christ. I'm going to answer for those things. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood is going to wash me white as snow. And the Father's going to say, enter in. There is another judgment, the great white throne. As for the lost, and the Lord knows who you are. I don't know one of your salvation, but I know I trust in Christ. But if you're lost, the Lord knows you. Amen. And He knows your way. You're not, look what it says in verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That means the judgment seat of Christ. They won't be there. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That's heaven. There won't be any sinners. Aren't you glad about that? No sinners in heaven like me. Because I will be washed white as snow and I'll be like Christ. I'll have the mind of Christ. There are going to be those at the great white throne who will never see that. He's keeping track. And I won't go there for time's sake, but the lake of fire in Revelation 20 is a real place. And a Christian that does not believe that is going to lead somebody astray. Listen, we need to quit talking about how all the warm and fuzzy stuff and tell lost people there is a lake of fire. And they're going to go there someday. Except they accept the free gift that Jesus Christ gives us. Man, God is good. All that, God is good. Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, God's keeping track of your way. We ought to probably take a little more care of our own way, huh? Be careful of who we're in proximity of and standing by and cozying up to and. And if you're lost here tonight, the Lord's keeping track of your way too. He doesn't want you to go to hell, but you are going to go to hell without Him. And you need to trust Him as your Savior. Let's stand to our feet. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for a Word of God that we can delight in, get excited about, and love so much that we can't even dwell on sin. Because we're loving Your Word and You so much. And that it keeps us. The Word of I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Lord, help us to delight in the Word of the Lord and meditate on it day and night, Lord, that we not go astray. Lord, I thank You for giving us a book we can trust. I thank You that You never change. We always know where to find You. You're always in the right place. You're always in the same place. And Lord, I pray that we'd cozy up to You and Your Word and delight in You more than we're delighting in these things of the world and not love the world, the things of the world, but love You. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we leave here tonight. Bless us for being in your word, for hearing your word, for delighting in your word. Bless us tonight for being here. I pray that you'd be with those that were not able to be here, that you'd bring them back to us quickly and safely. Thank you for all these things, Lord, in Christ's name I pray. Amen.